fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Sister Sarah Burdick. Sister Sarah is a member of the Servants of God's Love, the same religious order that Sister Ann Shields is a part of here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She's also a theology teacher for 12th graders at Father Gabriel Richard High School. She's kind of a legend there. My kids had her, and she's done really great job. Well, welcome, Sister Sarah.
Thank you. Yeah. Pray for me. Pray for this legend.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you shared yesterday with us about your conversion, the way the Lord brought you more fully into the life of the church and to just find Him there and love Him, be a member of the Catholic Church. But then you became a religious sister. How did that happen?
Right. Well, that's interesting because, you know, Peter, my dream was, okay, I'll graduate from college, get a career, find the man of my dreams, fall in love, and have enough kids to have my own football team, baseball team. I love sports, you know, so I'll have my own team and family all rolled into one. Yeah. I mean, that was my plan. But it's interesting because I remember seeing some of the sisters from the Servants of God's Love. I was at Mass at one of the local parishes, and I started thinking, that's really radical. That's so radical. And I thought, but marriage is so radical. It's so good. And so, you know, it's a choice between two goods. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a choice against, it's a choice for something. I mean, I dated somebody in high school, wasn't really serious. I went on a couple very funny dates, and this is not the place to tell you. I can tell you off the air, hilarious. But anyway, again, marriage was something that was very attractive to me. But I guess the best way to put it, if you imagine, you know, a magnet and iron filings, and it's like the Lord was a magnet and I was the iron filings, and He's getting closer and closer and just drawing my heart, and this invitation to just completely give myself to Him, just completely give my whole life to Him. And I remember saying, Lord, but marriage is so attractive, and this is religious life is attractive. Why don't you just put it in the sky? You know, those sky riders just say, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
And, you know, so I just really kept seeking the Lord, and it's like, my will be made known to you. And really, it was an invitation. I felt like, seriously, the Lord, this really helped me. I felt like what the Lord impressed on my heart was this. You are pursuing a decision, marriage or religious life. And honestly, I was sort of driving myself crazy. Mm-hmm. Marriage or religious life, back and forth. And when the Lord impressed on my heart, when He said, pursue a relationship with Me, and it will be made clear. And that brought me so much peace. I thought, I can do that. You know, that's something that's a for sure.
Yeah, so, it's good to know, as you described it, you had a desire to be married.
Absolutely.
You saw the goods and the wonder of it. It's radical calling, even as disciples in marriage, because I think sometimes people say, well, I guess people become religious sisters because they don't really want to get married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And if we have anybody that would come to us and say, why do you want to join the Servants of God's Love? Oh, I hate men, I'm afraid of children, and I really don't want to get married. Oh, we'll show you the door.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Those who would be the best religious would be the ones who are really would be the happiest as married people. You know?
So, and lots of people are trying to figure out, what does God want me to do?
You know,
what's the process? And I noticed you said something that's very interesting, that at a certain point, as you were bouncing back and forth between these two goods, things you were both attracted to, both of them, and Jesus said, just seek Me first,
seek me, right?
Exactly. Seek Me first. And it's a little bit like Ignatius talked about discerning a vocation, and that he talked about having a certain detachment, right? Or indifference, actually.
Yes,
like not,
right.
And the word indifference can feel a little more negative than he actually meant it to say.
Mm-hmm.
He said to be indifferent to either choice, but to realize that your heart, your passion, the fulfillment of your real desire is to want to be with Him, to seek His glory, to be with Him, and to say, Lord, I want to do what pleases You.
Amen.
Show me what pleases You. So either way goes for me. I just want to know what pleases You.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was interesting. Now, I people can relate to this. I mean, we talk about the Lord spoke to me, right? I mean, and we know it's not an audible voice somehow outside of me, but it was within my heart. And I remember this so clearly. I was walking down the street, and again, the Lord presents the choice to me, but it was like this. If you choose to marry, I will bless you. If you choose religious life, I will bless you. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then here was the kicker line. But I prefer to have you for myself.
Hmm.
I'm butter. I'm like, oh my gosh, the King of Kings just proposed to me. How can I say, ah, no, thanks. I prefer to go, you know, I'll find some guy, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, Lord, I'm humbled by your invitation. Give me grace. Give me grace to say yes. Give me grace to run this race, you know, fully, wholeheartedly, and to take nothing back. I so remember talking to my parents about this when I knew I was getting close to final vows. And my mom was so funny because she said, Sarah, what if you make final vows and then you see this guy and he's really handsome and you think, oh, I really want to be with that guy. I said, Mom, let me put it to you this way. I said, when you married Dad, you know, my dad was very handsome, right? I said, when you married Dad, and, you know, after you were married for a while, did you ever notice that there were other men out there that were really handsome? And she goes, yes. And I said, well, did you ever think, I think I'll ditch your father and go with them? And she said, of course not. And I said, well, why not? And she goes, because I married your father. And I said, Mom, it's analogous to that. Look, when you make final vows, do you think that all of a sudden I don't notice it? There are guys who are very attractive. Well, of course, but it's like, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to say, wait, I chose the better portion, the best portion, you know?
Yeah.
But it was funny. I think she got the analogy there.
Yeah. So what is your life like as a religious? I think some people say, boy, that looks like a hard life. It looks like a lonely life. It looks like a boring life or whatever. People have opinions. People also, they don't know what they don't understand. And what's it like?
Oh, my goodness. You want me to just kind of run through? Like,
sure. Why not?
Yeah. Well, okay. One of the things I greatly appreciate about my order is that not only do we take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, but we take a vow to the common life, meaning we really want to preserve our life together. And we really live like a family.
Mm-hmm.
We pray together 3 times a day. And I really appreciate having the other sisters because I have to admit, if I tried to do this on my own, it would be too easy to cheat. Like, I'm not going to get up at 5:15. I'll pray later, right?
Yeah.
So you have the other sisters that help you to be accountable. So we pray morning, evening, and night prayer together every day. We all, because we're CIA, Contemplatives in Action.
Okay.
That's my own term.
CIA, yeah, there
CIA,
you go.
Whatever. You know, we
undercover,
go off,
yeah.
We go off to our jobs, but we come back for dinner, for evening prayer, et cetera. And it's a great life. It really is. I mean, we have a lot of fun together. There's spontaneity. We live life together. Is it perfect? No. But we call one another on. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and she's like, you know, do you ever deal with people that can annoy you? And I'm like, yeah, I know I can probably annoy other people, but what I try to say is, Lord, thank you for giving me sisters who are going to call me on, who won't let me settle for less. You know,
that's good. Every kind of community life, whether it's family life, which is a community life,
yes,
or the community
it is.
Life you live, all those things are there. It's like those are all, you know, the church calls the family the domestic church. It's
that's
a community, right?
Right?
And it's all the challenges of living with one another, living, you know, husbands annoy their wives
annoy
their husbands at times,
kids,
you know, kids bug you, all the rest of that.
Yeah,
it's just a school of love. It's all a school of love.
It is.
And it's the same thing that you're doing. But I think there's something particularly unique about the calling, living out the calling, the vocation you have, is it has a profound prophetic context to it. I remember the professor I had years ago said, the celibate is a prophetic sign that the eschaton has begun and only the judgment remains. That's what you know. In other words, our listeners saying, what are you talking about?
What are you
about?
Talking
like
about?
Really, the return of the Lord,
amen.
The final thing, the ultimate banquet, that it's all coming in. And you're a living sign to remind everybody, this world is wonderful, what God has us doing here, but keep an eye on the end.
Amen.
We're all headed somewhere.
Amen.
And the meaning of this life is to make sure we're in relationship with God so we can share the banquet in eternal life with the Lord in glory.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things I try to sort of pound into or form into my students is this eternal perspective. You guys, we're not staying here. You know, we're just passing through and there's a better life that is to come. It doesn't mean that we don't do our best and work hard and do what God has given to us each day, but that hope of heaven, always keeping that hope of heaven alive because it's so real and that's really where we belong.
And it's so important because, Jesus said, keep your lamps burning.
Yes.
You are light, you are salt, all that kind of stuff to remind people that God is, that God exists, that we're made for him, and we're meant to live with him now, right here, right
That's
now,
right.
and
That's
live
right.
in a way that acknowledges him and acknowledges in the whole pattern of life that we have, that we live in the body that he has gathered together in his church, brothers and sisters, and we're meant to be a light in the world, and we live in a world that constantly, we see it very much in our culture now, that wants to just close off the heavens and wants to just reduce everything to the here and the now and the immediate, and it really causes people to forget God, and I think that's part of what we're seeing is so many people drifting away from the church because they're drifting with the culture, because the culture is sort of closing off heaven. It's shutting the doors there. And the only thing that matters is what's right here, right now. Yeah. And so your life in that context looks crazy. People can't figure it out. But that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to look. It's a living sign of another world, of another reality that people cannot forget because it's the fundamental purpose of life, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was absolutely delighted when my students came back from serving in Mexico. They were and they served on the dump. And they came back with the deepest sharings I've ever heard. And I was so proud of them because I thought, they're listening in theology. They're listening. Because what they said was they met these people who literally live on this dump. Babies are born on this dump. They said those people were so filled with joy because what they reminded us of was having an eternal perspective, that this isn't it. That there really is a better homeland that we're made for. And I was so proud of them that they could hear that, see that, and articulate that as well.
Yeah. There's something very radical about the commitment of a religious sister and for priests as well and monks, because they're really stepping out of the normal pattern of life in many ways. And they're saying, I'm offering my life. In my life, I hope, I pray by God's grace, my life is a message, a living message.
Exactly.
That the most important thing, the better portion, everything is the person of Jesus Christ himself, that he's really worth it. And we're all meant to be preparing ourselves to meet the Lord, to live with him forever. That's the goal of our life. That's why your life makes so much in that context.
Yeah. And it's a joy-filled life. I'm very grateful to the Lord. I like to tease my married friends, and I like to say, you know, especially if I'm speaking at a women's conference or something, and I'll say, so are you, you've chosen the man of your dreams, right? Yeah. And I said, well, is your spouse perfect? And they go, are you kidding? And I say, mine is. My spouse is perfect, but the bad thing is I lose every single fight.
There you go, yeah.
I never win an argument.
How, if someone's listening, if there's a young woman who's listening, would like to know more about the servants of God's love or what you're doing, what would that woman do? How could she get a hold of you?
Actually, we have a website.
Okay.
And it's the servants of God's love. Just Google the servants of God's love. We're here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to, you know, share a life with you.
Could somebody just come and visit you, set up a, you know, time?
Sure.
Do you have certain times of the year or is it just a...
No, I mean, we're pretty open, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just recently had a retreat with three young women and sharing our life with them. And they did what we did. I mean, what we do. Okay. I mean, they prayed with us, they worked with us, they played with us, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, check it out.
Great. Now, can you be with us again tomorrow?
Sure, I'll be around.
Yeah, there's more.
As God wills.
I'd like to draw more out of you. I know the Lord's doing a lot in your heart you'd like to share with our listeners. And friends, just today before we close, I just want to encourage you to think about your own call and in your life and the radical call of abandonment that Jesus invites you to, no matter what vocation you've chosen. Maybe you're already married. Maybe you're in the process of deciding what you want to do. The bottom line is the King wants you to draw near to him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will lead you to be able to put all those desires and adventure, everything that's in you, just at his feet and just say, Jesus, show me the way, because the way of the Lord is the way of life for you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.